Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Forever Dog.
Welcome back. Welcome back for another steaming.
Piping.
Scalding. Serving of
Hot Goss.
This, of course, is our weekly chat show where we talk about events in our lives, issues in politics, and take a deep dive into the DMs. So let's get into some
Hot Goss.
And this is a very special episode, and we're very grateful that you're here because we have very special guests on the pod today. Mm-hmm. We have Bob the Drag Queen and Monet Exchange from the Wowie nominated podcast Sibling Rivalry.
Oh, come through with the Wowie nods.
Not the Wowie nominated. That's so shady. I'm excited to be a part of Hot Goss, the show where we talk about how hot Ryan Gosling is for the whole
time. My God. Okay, I have to say, I am not. The Notebook is literally my favorite movie of all time. I watch it every 3 months to remind myself what love really is. I do not think that Ryan Gosling is hot at all.
I heard you found out what love is last night.
Oh, wow.
I did, girl. Yeah!
Well, this is uncomfortable, Monet, because they have a special guest. Ryan Gosling, don't come. Never mind. Monet's not interested.
Could you imagine?
You know what, Ryan?
Hold on. I mean, if I would absolutely sleep with Ryan, but I'm not like, ooh, he's so hot.
POV, you're Ryan Gosling randomly listening to this podcast being like, what the fuck?
I'm not into him either, so I'm with you on that. But now that you live in LA, you could run into him, Bob, at any point. Would he be your celebrity crush?
You know, to be honest, if Ryan Gosling was delivering my Uber Eats, I wouldn't know who he was. I don't think I know what he looks like. I don't think I've ever seen a Ryan Gosling movie besides The Notebook. And I just don't know. I get him mixed up with the guy who plays Deadpool all the time.
Oh, Ryan Reynolds.
Reynolds.
Yeah. Willem of Alaska. Bob also thinks, who is it? He thinks that
Sandra Bullock and Julia Roberts
look alike. Literally,
who?
Not in Julia Roberts and Sandra Bullock.
On paper, they're both like, you know, tall white women with big mouths that you can see all their teeth when they smile.
No, looking at them, though,
but
he thinks
like
they look alike.
That's like everyone in Hollywood.
I get them mixed up all the time. They're like Glenn Close and Meryl Streep, so I don't get them mixed up. But Glenn Close and Meryl Streep are visually, they would use the same emoji.
Right, that's tea. I don't think Sandra Bullock and Julia Roberts look that much alike. Like, Julia Roberts she has a very distinctive mouth. Like, her lips and her teeth are very distinctive. And Sandra Bullock, I'm obsessed with her. I'm obsessed with her, but I don't think they look alike.
But would the Memoji be the same?
No.
No, Sandra Bullock has like dark brown hair. Julia Roberts is like a auburn, like redhead. So that would be like
a little
Lancome
Memoji. Trezor.
Yeah, they're so different. They're basically like Tom Hanks and Michael Clark Duncan in The Green Mile. They're like polar opposites basically at this point.
See, I always have a problem realizing that that's not Latrice.
Oh my God.
Because I thought she died at the end of the movie, but then I saw her on Drag Race, and I was like, oh, cool, a revival.
Revival.
So wait,
can I tell you,
Bob, go ahead.
Monet, this is not sibling rivalry. Please let these two do their own podcast. This is not our podcast, Monet. You're embarrassing me.
Thank you for coming on my show. That's Wendy Williams says that, right?
Wendy the Rosa.
Oh my God. So wait, Bobalina, you live in Los Angeles now. So wait, now New York is officially dead. Bob the drag queen left. New York is dead.
And here's the gag. Everyone at home listening to this, put this down in your motherfucking books on the day you heard this, okay? This was recorded on November the wet day. What's today's day?
15th.
Monet Exchange is moving to LA. I promise you, with every fiber of my being, I promise you, before 2022, Monet will live in this town.
I want to see the mistakes. Okay.
Wow. All right.
I mean, there is a lot of opportunity here. And the only thing that you can't do in LA that you can do in New York, entertainment wise, is Broadway.
Do you know where Monet wants to move to further her career?
Where?
Portland, Oregon.
Okay.
Oh, really?
You could take over Portland in a second, bitch. But there's this tall boy named Flawless Shade who used to be a go-go dancer up there with me. That girl, he got the dick.
Oh, Flawless. Yeah, he's
really? I want to say tall. The only motivating factor to move to LA would be just to change up my Grindr grid. Like, honestly, there's no other reason to move or change your address.
Where do you live now? Where's your Grindr now?
I'm in Harlem.
I always like to go to places where I'll be a higher number once I get there. Like in Portland, I'm like a 9. In LA, I'm like a 6.5, 7.
Wait, your dick changes size from city to city?
No, Alaska.
So, Monet, I need to ask you about this because I've seen the flyer. I saw that you guys were doing press for
trying
it.
To put on all that makeup. Did you see how much makeup she had on?
Right, of course.
She's like, I'm Monet, in the 80s now.
Right. Monet is currently in London because you are debuting in the West End in a new show called Death Drop with Courtney Act. Oh my gosh. This is a huge deal.
The West
Thank
End
you.
Girls.
West yeah. End Girls. How is it going?
Well, you know, love, so I've been here for about a week I've been on quarantining.
Madonna, and, is
well,
that you?
Know, I'm not trying. It just comes out of me so organically. And so I've been here, and we start rehearsals tomorrow, actually. And no, we start rehearsals tomorrow.
Are you off book?
No, I'm not off book. But that's the thing about trying to, like, memorize lines. If you're not like some of it, so much of it happens like with like blocking and stuff for me, but I've been trying to memorize it, but it's so hard to do it if you don't have scene partners and yada, yada, yada.
I bet Courtney's off book.
Oh, wow.
That's literally not true. We literally spoke last night about it.
You're assuming Courtney. How do you know Courtney's off book? How do you know that?
Anyway, moving on. This is not your podcast, bitch.
So you're saying Courtney's not professional. So you're saying Courtney's not professional.
Oh my God. Anyway. and so the show is set to open on December 4th.
If y'all learn your lines.
Quarantine ends on December 2nd. And everyone here in London is pretty much, they're like, yeah, well, it's like 50-50. You talk to some people and they're like, girl, if they think we're opening up on December 2nd, they are crazy. It's going to extend because it's only going to get worse with the pandemic. And the other half of people are like, they cannot possibly extend it past that time because we need it to open back up. But you look around in London, y'all, and I don't know about LA, but in New York, I would say 90% of people have masks on. Like, they have their mask on. Like, they don't.
Yeah.
Outside, walking around, inside, they have it on. In London, it is about 25%. 20% of people have masks on. People are just walking around outside with face covering, no mask.
Never heard of a mask, don't know what a mask is, never seen one before, nor interested.
Wow.
Yeah, it's very interesting that they don't wear them here. So we'll see, girl, but hopefully everything goes well.
Well, I hope it doesn't get worse, but I saw Courtney on Neighbors and the acting, I don't know.
Oh, my God.
I hate it, bitch. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I dare you to walk in and just start sharing drinks with everybody, Monet.
Well, no. The production, there are all these COVID protocols we have at rehearsal, and there's testing. Like, they're being really, really, really diligent about keeping everyone safe and doing it all safely. But London at large, the city of London, is not a mask-wearing city like that.
And well, is not honestly, learning your lines? Is that a part of the COVid safety
things,
too?
Oh, my God.
Are you social distancing from your...
from your
script? Have you been social distancing from your script?
Put my fucking dick on your forehead. How about that?
Oh, wow.
Instead of those bangs? Or in addition to?
I will. Los Angeles, I feel like, is really a little bit loosey-goosey. Like, when I go and walk somewhere in Hollywood, it would not be 90% of people with masks on. It would be like 50% of people have masks
really?
On.
Really? In LA?
Yeah.
Walking on the boulevard, near Hollywood Boulevard, near where my spot is, like, I see people. Friday night, it was just like me and Quarantine Boo hanging out. Saturday night, Quarantine Boo and me. And we went down Hollywood Boulevard each time. And the spots that are open, there's lines outside. They're popping. The people walk. A lot of people walking, no masks. But once they get in a spot with people, I see masks. But, like, there's tons of people out here that just don't want to wear it. And, I mean, it's I
Did
guess
y'all see
like
the governor of New Jersey? This reporter was like, what do you say to people who are like, it's just really inconvenient, it's uncomfortable, I don't like wearing a mask? And he goes, you know what else is uncomfortable? When you die. And I was like, damn.
Wait, Chris Christie said that?
No, Chris Christie's not the governor of New Jersey.
Oh, good.
Yes,
I don't like
is.
Him.
Christie's not the governor of New Jersey?
He was the governor of New Jersey.
Oh.
What happened? Did he ask some girls for casting photos?
Let me guess, you believe Willem again over me?
Oh, wow.
Oh, my God.
See, we're bringing it to you. We're bringing the sibling rivalry to Hot Goss. This is what you tune in for. This is the sparks and the sizzle.
Alaska's about to spill the tea, literally.
I am literally. Oh, my God. Oh, my gosh. I'm shaking. Okay. Oh, wait. There's a rainbow spotlight.
Oh, this is a great rainbow spotlight. He's my friend. He's written some songs for me. His name is John Duff. He has music out that's amazing. He loves the drag girls, the drags.
John Duff, like, you fill up my senses, John Duff?
No, that's John Denver. Yeah, he's dead.
Oh, John Denver. Oh.
Yeah.
No, John Duff, like, John Duff, who is... No, this is Hillary Duff's brother.
Oh, girl, she used to get real fold up, but she doesn't do that no more. But this song... Dear. Is an amazing song called Give a Fuck, and it's by John Duff. Please give it a listen.
What?
Maybe I need to lower my inhibition. I'll admit it, I'm insisting on that hidden till consistent commitment. I give a fuck, but if I didn't, I'd give a fuck to you. And if I'm anything, I'm honest, yeah, and honestly, I'm honest, like a Puritan, born again, void of sin. Well, let's pretend I give a fuck. 'Cause if I didn't, I'd give a fuck to you. What I want is my touch, your touch all over. Your touch, my touch, our clothes off. Nobody needs to know what goes on. Say I don't give a fuck, but I wanna give a fuck. I wanna give all my fucks to you. I want strings, I want rings. I wanna do bad things to you. So tell me that you give a fuck so we can get in love. Give up, get up, can't get enough. I wanna give a fuck, so if you give a fuck, I'm giving all my fucks to you. IDGAF, an antonym, acronym to what I think.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
A lot of us spend our lives wishing we had more time.
The question is, time for what? If time was unlimited, how would you use it?
That's tea. I don't know how I would spend my time. I'd probably get ample sleep, have ample time to sit and do nothing. I love that hobby.
Yeah.
And then time to spend with my family, my friends, my loved ones, and, you know, doing stuff that I love.
I always listen to the end of the Hamilton soundtrack, and they have that song about time, and it makes me, like, cognizant that, like, life is finite, and you should, like, try to appreciate it and then take down time and stuff. But the best way to squeeze that special thing into your schedule is to know what's important to you. And then you make that a priority no matter what.
That's right. Therapy can help you find what matters to you so you can do more of it.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, you should give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. And one of my friends did it, and she really liked it, too.
That's right. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp.
Visit BetterHelp.com/ drag today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/drag.
The new Starz series, Mary and George, starring Julianne Moore and Nicholas Galitzine, tells a story almost too outrageous to be true, but shockingly it is.
With next to nothing to her name and looking to elevate her social standing, Mary Villiers sets her handsome and charming son George on the path to seduce King James I and become his all-powerful lover.
You've never seen a mother-son duo like this before. The show is full of wit, scandal, action, and did I mention Julianne Moore?
Something this audacious and sexy is as genre-bending as it gets. You won't be able to look away.
Watch the season premiere of Mary and George now, only on Starz and the Starz app. All right, welcome back. Now, we are here with Bob and Monet, and this, I don't know if you listen to the podcast, but this segment is a segment where we talk about the world of politics, and the segment is called, and it's a sung segment, okay, Let's get political. Let me see your policy.
Was that a John Duff original?
John Denver, actually. John Denver.
Yeah, he's singing it from the grave. That's why it sounded like that.
Also, by the way, luck with politics. Come on, Nate still thinks Chris Christie's the governor of New Jersey. So good luck.
Bitch, I know more about politics than you. We did our political broadcast.
Giuliani is the mayor of New York.
On our political podcast, everyone was like, wow, Monet really knows a lot about this stuff. I'm like, yeah, I do.
Yeah. I love how you pick up the mic so you can say it right into it. So the level of the sound wave will be enormous.
You're not happy unless you're getting glitter and gloss on that fucking mic, are you? You want it like a club microphone with fucking hepatitis and Wet and Wild lip gloss.
Oh my God. Have you ever done the thing where, the thing where you're at a club and like you put the mic in your mouth and afterwards you're like, this was a horrible decision.
That's over. I mean, that I used to do that all the time, licking the mic, whatever. Now
Courtney farted like, on it, remember?
Right.
That you is heard a it thing confirmed. Alaska's a super spreader, confirmed.
That's the headline on Gay Times. Alaska confirmed.
Pink News will pick it up too.
Right. Pink super News. Spreader.
All the big ones, all the huge ones.
That is a thing of the past now. Like all that mic shit. Like fucking licking people's faces or whatever. Like,
bitch, I've been licking a mic all weekend. Hey, Mike.
I bet. So this is a segment we call "Let's Get Political." There's a couple of things on here that I knew nothing about. Okay, what the thoughts on the Million MAGA March over the weekend?
Okay, the Million MAGA March. They had it in fucking DC. First of all, these Fox News correspondents are so fucking dense. They're like online, like, look at these millions of people. Mama, if they were, I would say maybe about 50K, they're like literally nowhere close
to I'm not trying to defend anything, but I think it's more of a moniker. Like when you call it the Night of 1,000 Shares, they're not really 1,000 there. And like at the Million Man March, there weren't a million people at the Million Man March.
They were comparing it to the Women's March on Washington, D.C., which literally had a million plus people. And they were like, oh, this is literally the same amount of people that were at the Women's March last year. And it's literally just not true. Not even close to being true.
Well, Fox had a moment in time where they actually could have redeemed themselves as a network, but they full on sold their souls to the devil after this election. There was a moment where they were like, they were reporting the real stuff. And then after a while, they started being like, you know what? You know, we think it's fraud too. Can we talk about voter fraud? Here's the concept of voter fraud is this. Someone said this and it's brilliant. If Joe Biden could convince red states and blue states, and over 75 million people to collectively get together and do anything, bitch, he needs to be the fucking president. If you can orchestrate voter fraud on between Georgia, Pennsylvania, fucking from sea to shining fucking sea, then bitch, that's the goddamn president we fucking need. It's also practically impossible.
Right.
And, yeah. What Bob was talking about for Fox, they almost turned the tide. They were going to have a sibling rivalry television show on the network to engage the black queer artists, but they decided not to. So
Alaska, if you believe that, I got some land I want to sell you in Florida, girl.
So wait, how many people did show up to the Million MAGA March? Is it 50,000?
Yeah, like 10,000. It was a girl.
Less than DragCon.
Close.
Less than DragCon UK when they sold 11,000 tickets, but the capacity was 6,000. Oh
my God.
Okay.
Yikes.
But honestly, they may be small in numbers, but they're fucking scary because there's people out there like chanting to like let that kid go that went up to Kenosha or wherever and then shot people, the 17-year-old, I think his name's Kyle, and they were like chanting for him to be let go, like it was like,
well, the Republican Party has chosen to be amoral. They have chosen to relinquish all of their morals, and instead of supporting ideas and supporting concepts, they have chosen to put all of their faith into a person, which is honestly the most fascist. Donald Trump follows the fascist handbook to a T. First of all, you tell everyone to believe that you have to convince your followers that you are the only valid source of information. You have to discredit every news source and make them believe that the only place they can find truth is in you. And everything else is, you know, bullshit. And they fucking fell for it.
Yeah. It was crazy.
Your earrings are cute.
Thank you. That's so random. Thank you very much. How many people wear the Million MAGA?
Do you want to compliment my earrings, Willem?
The connection's bad.
I have those earrings, Monet.
Oh, girl, I literally have a bag of those. Yeah, I have a bag of them. I just wear them all the time.
You bought a whole bag of those?
I am not a big dangly earring girl because when it gets tangled in your hair,
you get it confused with your balls.
You have a bag of earrings and those are the ones you chose to put on
I would have put the bag on.
I also love how Mole, you were like, you know how like long earrings just tangle in your hair and you literally have on the pussycat.
She means her eyebrows. They get tangled in her eyebrows.
This is the thing.
Brows are longer than that wig, bitch.
This is why, though. This is why, like, I'm so jealous that you can wear a pussycat wig because not everyone has the feminine, ability to put on hair that is short and petite and look stunning, which you, that's what
you do.
That's who you are. You are so sickening and gorgeous that you can fucking wear short hair. I can not because I am a dog. I literally, this is just covering how fucking horrendous of bone structure I actually have.
Well, that's enough Monet compliments. Do you guys want to say something nice about me now?
I told you I liked your earrings like 10 minutes ago.
Let's go back talk about the Million MAGA
March. Oh my God. Okay, so I knew Bob was up to something because we were talking and I saw Bob going like this. I was like, he's about to do something. He's prepping a joke. I fucking knew it.
If you want to see a joke, you could look up Alaska in that short hair that she was talking about. We did a turnabout night where all the AAA girls were each other. And after they saw Alaska, we got several requests for refunds.
Oh my God.
Because
here's a joke I told years ago that I don't even think y'all were even on stage for. My mom got shot years ago, maybe like 3 years ago, my mom got shot. And I had to go do a gig right afterwards. And no one laughed at this joke except me, but it was a AAA gig. I was there with the AAA girls. And then I walked out afterwards and I said, I think if my mom would have seen that performance, she would have shot herself in the face. Asshole. But she lived. We have left politics.
Right.
Your politics, well, you were covering the election live. I happened to join in on it, and I was worried as fuck that, like, we were going to lose.
But we didn't.
And you guys were keeping it cute and trying to keep it light all night. Did y'all have wigs on?
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, we were full drag.
Sometimes I can't tell with you, Bob.
Oh my God, I was literally wearing this. Oh my God, what a monster. I was wearing this same. Me and Monet are both in the same situation. Me and Monet are not actually with all of our drag right now. So if you've seen me and Monet,
that's probably better for your career, Bob.
I've been wearing this wig to every gig for like the past month. I'm like, hi, everyone.
You could turn it around.
But she's cute.
Turn the wigs around.
Okay, Willem, what is this button? Is that LaToya or Janet?
LaToya's an enemy of the pod. We don't bring her here. This is
Miss
Coco Montrese.
Ms. Coco Montrese in the illusion of Janet Jackson. Because during the holidays, what's better than a little hot cocoa?
Monet, what kind of question is that? At what point? Okay, this is. I feel like that's clearly Coco doing an homage to Janet. At what point does LaToya ever do anything like that?
Like LaToya ever did a promo photo?
But okay, first of all, this is a recreation of a Janet Jackson look, correct? Just like an exact replica.
What you're saying is you know it's not LaToya Jackson because you know it's a recreation of a Janet Jackson.
I knew that it didn't look like Janet. So I was like, oh, was this like LaToya doing like an homage to Janet and Willem got it at some celebrity something? And
because everyone knows LaToya is known for her cosplay. Everyone knows that LaToya.
She looks like a sad bridesmaid.
I would actually like her a lot better. Yeah.
Okay, wait. Why is she an enemy of your pod? I want to know this juicy, this hot goss.
There are a few reasons. That's hot goss. There are a few reasons why LaToya is an enemy of the pod. It's because LaToya was a guest judge on season 5 of Drag Race, which I was on. And she was very unfair to me in her assessment.
Hateful and delirious.
So we have deemed her a deep enemy of the
pod. Hate it, bitch.
Do you remember when RuPaul kept trying to get her to say Ivy Winters? And she was like, Ivy Winters. I was like, no, but trust me, you once said like this. And she goes, I said I'm Ivy Winters. And I was like, move on from the, I'll do anything for a bit, but this bit is dead. Let it go. And they put it in the fucking special. That's crazy.
Girl, can I tell you how many people from the Jackson family were famous? Like at least like 5 or 11 or something. If Joe Jackson didn't see it in you, if your own father, cut the cord, mama.
What about Reeby?
Oh my God.
Justice for Reeby. Centipede.
She had a song. Like she did something.
Centipede.
LaToya.
POV. POV. Ryan Gosling and LaToya Jackson are listening to this podcast, being like, "What the fuck?"
I mean, Reeby did raise Janet's love baby, didn't she?
Oh my gosh.
Oh my God. Willa, is that true?
You know it is. You know she had a baby and she gave it away to one of her brothers and sisters for sure.
To the people at home listening, y'all see this? There's a clock counting down, and I feel like I have to say everything really fast before the clock expires on me.
It's at zero, and we're just keeping on going. Why don't we take a break, and we'll come right... We're going to find out about the love baby, about LaToya's love baby, and we'll be right back.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Are back and this is a Dipper muted his audio so his his booking photo comes picture. Up. Yeah. Stop.
Someone's a little shy.
He's like, I'm shaved
now. I
want to
see. Where is it? I want to see.
Wait, where did
yes,
it go?
Dipper.
Oh, yes. Yes. Well, this is a segment. I don't know if Bob and Monet, I don't know if you listen to the podcast.
He does.
Okay, great. Well, this is a segment where we go spelunking deep inside the DMs.
The first message comes from Elijah. It says, hello from the UK, longtime listener, first time spelunker. I'm such a fan of the pod and I think you are hilarious. You have brought so much joy and distraction these past couple months. I've literally listened to you so much that I catch myself lip syncing along to all the advertisements and the breaks. Anyways, I wanted to write in to open up
a
conversation.
We're not that predictable, but okay.
Anyways, I wanted to write in to open up a conversation about the casting of queer characters in TV and film. I watched a British film called Tucked, which follows the stories of two drag queens, one of which is played by Jordan Stevens, boyfriend of That's So Upsettin', Jade Thirlwall. The character he plays suggests on a number of occasions in the movie that they're non-binary in the way they talk about not identifying male nor female. Something about the straight cis male playing a non-binary person just didn't sit right with me the same way I feel when trans characters are played by cis actors. There have been many conversations about whether gay characters should only be played by gay actors, which I don't fully agree with, but I do believe characters' gender identification should be reflected in the casting. I'm an actor myself, and my agent tried to put me up for a non-binary role, which I declined immediately and explained to her why. I've admittedly seen great performances by cis people as these characters, Jordan Stevens included, but shouldn't we now be in a place where we acknowledge the trans and non-binary people get erased from society as it is? We should at least give them the opportunity to tell their stories rather than casting the Scarlett Johansons of the industries. With you both being actors, what are your thoughts on this? Am I overthinking this a little? Either way, I think it's a very interesting conversation to have. Thanks for listening to my long-winded message. Below, I have unfortunately not including drick pics, as I am not that kind of girl, but instead you may find a photo of me and my best friend in matching zebra outfits. Sorry, it's not leopard. For when we saw the Twisted Circus in London, Gia Gunn performance changed my life. Alaska was an excellent host, and we were called faggots in the street. Talk about a fucking amazing night. Also, congrats on the Biden win from across the pond. All the love, Elijah.
Look at Elijah. These outfits are very cute. I like these outfits. Also, his friend, that is not a zebra.
Oh. Yeah, it's more like a camouflage. The dress is like a camo, or more like a Keith Haring almost.
Drag her, Moni. Drag her. Drag her, that friend.
Keith Haringbone. So wait, what do you think about this?
Well, I've been doing this for a while, and I'm like literally one of the cis actors that played trans roles on TV for years. And when I remember I got my first big part, and Ryan Murphy told me I got it because I was the best actor that came in the room. I do know that trans people auditioned for the part that I went in for. Now I don't feel like I should be playing trans roles, but back then, they were lucky they cast me, because some of the people that they were trying to cast that went in, because everybody thinks, oh, I have a wig, I could play this role. So I think they were in better hands with at least someone who was closer to that than just some gay guy who puts on a wig for an audition, because that happened all the time. Trans America probably wouldn't have been the movie it was if it didn't have Felicity Huffman in it, you know? Sometimes there were trade-offs for publicity, or something wouldn't even get made if it didn't have that name. But should Matt Bomer be playing a transsexual in these days? No, he shouldn't. But, you know, a transsexual was paid to coach him, basically, and to be his coach for that movie. So, like, somebody's working somewhere. It may not be exactly what you want, but it's further than it was in the 2000s when I was doing it, you know?
I feel like in terms of non-binary people, I mean, I consider myself non-binary. And if someone is playing a non-binary role in a TV show and they don't identify as non-binary, I'm also not about to be a non-binary person and jump into the conversation and be like, I feel like there are times when sometimes I would not, as a non-binary person, jump into the conversation of transness and try to take up space when I believe there are people who need that conversation a lot more than I do. Because you are what you are and you are how you perceive. So whether I am non-binary, but the world sees me as a gay guy. And I acknowledge that. So I travel the world with a certain level of privilege. And I'm not trying to come into the trans discussion and be like, see us people who are on the trans spectrum. I feel like that conversation, in my opinion, should be more reserved for people who are like visibly trans in the street, who are suffering at the hands of people who don't like that. So that's my opinion on that. That does not mean that other people are invalid in their experience of going forward and talking about those things. But I believe that this conversation, in my opinion, that space should be held up for people who are genuinely suffering a lot of death, violence, job discrimination, which is usually Black trans women who are visibly trans.
T. Monet.
Do you have a non-Bobberry opinion on that, Monet?
I have flip-flopped on this like a lot of times, like, because I was back in the day, I was a person who was like, well, if you only want gay people to play gay characters, that means that gay people can't play straight characters, and I was doing those same mental gymnastics for trans stuff. And then, you know, a few years ago, I don't know what I was listening to. I think it was Janet Mock, and I want to say she was doing an interview on Seth Meyers or something like that, and I listened to her speak, and I was like, oh my god, how stupid am I? I'm like, trans folk are dismissed from the conversation so much. They just have so much less opportunity and access than a lot of us cis folk do. So I'm like, it makes sense when you have a trans role that it is inherently played by a trans person, because they just don't get as enough access and enough opportunity as the rest of us do. So with this non-binary thing, I do think the non-binary thing is a little different. And again, I do identify as non-binary, but similar to Bob, people experience me, see me in the world as a gay Black man. So that's what my experiences are on a daily. So I don't really know how it feels to be identified as non-binary and feel like you're not getting things because of that. So I can't really speak to that.
Right.
I found something out the other day which really fucked my brain up.
Shangela did not deserve
to win All-Star 3.
No, it really fucked my brain up. So there was this definition, you're so shady. There was this definition that I saw that supports, this is so random by the way, that supports the notion that Rachel Dolezal is Black. Listen to this. Race refers to physical differences that groups and cultures consider socially significant, while ethnicity refers to shared cultures such as language, ancestry, practices, and beliefs. So basically what that says is if people think you're Black, you're Black. And if people think you're white, then you're white. So what that says is basically Rachel Dolezal is Black, but she is not African American. That fucked my brain up.
Well, Bob and I, we haven't done an episode of the podcast about it. I know it's kind of like playing on the lines of transracialism. This is a term that was introduced to me a few weeks ago, and I haven't really had time to sit with it. But the term transracialism—it's
a great Scrabble word. Yeah. Lots of points.
It's coming into the ether and into the conversation, because it's like Rachel Dolezal, she acknowledges her privilege as a white woman that she navigated.
She's not white. Girl, based on the definition of the word race, she's not white. That's what is fucking my brain up.
Wait, I have a question about that. So I want to grasp what that was written. So are you saying if like just because you're from Africa and you live there and you take all their customs, but if you were originally like Dutch, are you considered?
What it's saying is being Black and being African American are not the same thing.
They're not the same.
Black. People in the Caribbean are Black. People in Africa can be Black, but I am the only one in that scenario who's African American. So there's being Black, there's being African American, there's being, you know, white, and then there's being, you know, whatever you are. I'm just kidding. No, but there's like all these like different things. So I saw this definition recently that just kind of fucked my brain up. And I was like, wait, what? Because I did not realize the difference between race and ethnicity.
I think it's a thing. Because going back to what you said, you are what you are. You are what you've experienced. And for all intents and purposes, Rachel Dolezal, she grew up as a white woman, whatever, you know, all that stuff. But then when she was in her teens, she was like, I don't identify with this. And she like went to HBCU and she went to all the studying and she like, for all intents and purposes, did all the things to educate herself about Blackness and all of that stuff. So it's like, it's this weird, I don't know, it's a very strange discussion, and I don't know how to feel about it. It's very weird.
Wow.
Alaska, would you like to share very pointed opinions about blackness on this podcast?
Right, like, yeah. Yeah, definitely. Wow, no, I mean, it's something I want to look more into because, I mean, because like, doesn't... Doesn't that by the same token mean like if you're trans but you are passing as cis, does that mean that by that wait, race isn't your, this is about the word race.
Is about race. I have this thing that I say with Monet all the time. I say you are what you are and you are what you experience. So what my thing is, you don't have to be trans to have a trans experience in a moment. And I think that a lot of drag queens who have navigated the world with people who don't know what drag is, have in a particular moment in time, have had a trans experience within the confines of their life. And I think that's why I say you are what you are in your experience. It's like my old assistant, Luis, who looks white. He just looks like a white person, but he is very Latinx. I mean, he grew up in Latinx. He speaks Spanish. His family, both of his parents are from Latinx countries, and he's just a full-on Latinx person. But he is having a lot of white experiences because he doesn't have an accent, and he has blue eyes, and he looks white. So therefore, you are what you are, and you are what you experience.
This message says, "Hi, Alaska, Willem, Bob, and Monet." Wow, this person knew that you both were going to be here. That's amazing. My name is Zach, and I'm a huge fan of the pod and have been listening since the very beginning. I moved back home from West Hollywood back in May and have been living with my parents and working remotely ever since. Extremely grateful to still have a job during these trying times. I plan on moving back to Los Angeles next March. And let's just say my patience is extremely excited for it. Before leaving West Hollywood, I split up with my boyfriend right before quarantine started. A lot of my friends in WeHo were made through him, and I'm not too confident I'll still have some of those friendships when I get back. So now that I've provided this lengthy context, my question is, what do you recommend a semi-shy, single gay man do to meet new people in the City of Angels? Especially with quarantine, I see this being quite difficult. Attached is a dick pic for your enjoyment. And yes, I'm cut, but there's a chance the doctor did a half-assed job. Sincerely, Zacharina.
Oh, he's cute.
He's making bear face in that first picture, which is...
That's a nice penis.
Yeah, that's nice.
Work.
Not mad.
Work Mary.
Bob, like you said work. Yes, that's the catchphrase from We're Here.
He's kind of like
we have to talk a little bit now because it's this whole thing of people making fun of me on We're Here because people will say these things to me, and then
people would be like, but, so like, this is my traumatic story, I've been through this, this is my life, this person died, and you're like, work,
Layla's gonna do your makeup.
No. Okay, Monet can attest to this. I say work in all situations of life. Me and Monet can be in an argument. We could be dead ass serious. And I'd be like, work.
Yeah.
Work, bitch.
Yeah.
But it's not like a dismissal of those people. But yeah, work. should I go on with some advice? A great way to meet people, and I think that people are forgetting about this, because I don't think there's any shame in meet him personally. I'm also an open little, you know, hoe basket, but
well, right now shame. You can't meet personally.
You know, I'm talking, okay, can I, I'm going to give him some ex, he says when he gets back, so I'm assuming COVID's over, because he's not in LA right now. If you were listening to the email, when he gets back after COVID's over, he's coming back to LA. And I think there's no shame in meeting people through, like, gay hookup culture.
Yeah, I was going to say, anybody that you sleep with that you don't want to sleep with again, but they seem fun or have clothes that you want to borrow, become their friends or join like a dodgeball team. I made a bunch of friends on dodgeball. I don't know any other names, but they're friendly. When they see me, they're like, we play dodgeball. I'm like, oh, cool.
You've been dodging balls a lot.
Girl, I don't dodge them. I'll dive in traffic. I haven't been able to fart in 3 days. I'm waiting for that to come back.
God.
I love this message, though. He's like, hi, oh my God, I'm newly single, I'm hot, I have a huge dick. How do I meet people?
Right.
I'm moving to a giant metropolis. What am I going to do? Like, girl, you're going to be fine. You're going to be fine.
You'll be just fine. Yeah. Like, his picture and his dick, he's going to thrive in L.A., bitch. Right. He's going to have a hard time not having friends.
And if not, just do drag.
And listen, if you don't thrive in L.A., I feel like at some point you will literally thrive inside of Willem. So just come here.
Right.
Come
you know,
like, actually.
He wouldn't make it past the front door of my house.
Why?
Not you my type. Be all right.
This is something I know we're like running out of time, but he kind of touched on it, and it's sort of like, I don't know, are gay people still hooking up even though it's fucking COVIDina? Is that safe? Is it acceptable? Is it permissible?
I mean, to each their own. I'm making my decisions for my body though, and I've been no new dick since like there's been one new dick, but I've known him for a while, but
the one.
Well, I mean, we've been fucking around, but like it never went in me until then. But there's been no new dick of note for sure.
Well, I'm about to say a controversial statement. COVID is not an STD. So whatever you can get from proximity, if you are hooking up with one person or two new people, but you're hanging out with 10 new people, the person hanging out with 10 right. new people is going to have a higher chance of catching and spreading COVID than someone hooking up with less people. So it's about proximity. It's not an STD. It's not through semen. It's not through lesions. It's through proximity and breathing.
Lesions?
And well, actually, the
nobody
state of
watches
New York,
that on the FX.
the state of New York, literally the CDC of New York, they were like, hey, you guys can hook up. We encourage everyone to get glory holes. If you guys can get glory holes, literally our state was like, put glory holes in your home. Put them in your hallways. Have fun. Glory holes are safe to have sex with your
Wow.
Yes. Really?
Yes.
All right.
Do you have any vacancies in your building?
Well... Willem, that's
Wait, Willem,
a craft
you said that guy
project.
Wasn't your type. What is your type? Now I'm so curious because it seems
him.
Like you have an array.
Yeah, I know what I not him. He looks shy, and if he can't figure out how to have friends and to get friends, and he looks like that, I don't want to fuck with him.
Got it.
I like very confident people. I like people that like. Yeah, no. He's not my type at all.
Work. As Bob would say, work.
I mean, never mind.
Thank you so much for listening to Hot Goss this week. And thank you so much to Bob and Monet for being here for this Race Chaser sibling rivalry crossover event.
Yeah.
I love you both so much.
I love you guys so much. For real.
Do you have anything that you'd like to promote before you go?
No, I think I'm just promoting my love for Bob, and I just love looking at that full mustache and drag. It's just so impressive the way that he does it with his makeup. It's so fair and so cute.
Oh my gosh.
Well, wow. I guess I will promote the fact that Monet's doing a play on the West End called Death Drop. I guess just she's not going to promote it. You can see Monet wearing outfits probably nicer than this t-shirt she has on right now. And maybe earrings that are slightly bigger than her thumbnails. So thank you all so much. And you can, of course, look out season 2 of We're Here. We'll be filming very soon. And you'll get to hear that lovely catchphrase all throughout the season. Mark. Maybe I'll say it at a funeral or something. Yeah. anyone have any words that I can say about the departed? I'll just stand up and go.
Work.
thank you guys.
If anybody has any questions, you can send them to us at racechaserpodcast@gmail.com. And we also have bonus video content available on patreon.com/Willem. And our part 2 of Spelunking and Our Sisters Only Fans is up there right now. And you can search the hashtag racechaser and just watch the videos all a la carte, al fresco.
We're also trying to get Willem to 1 million subscribers on YouTube. So go hit that subscribe button at youtube.com/Willem. And while you're at it, subscribe to Bob and Monet's channels as well. youtube.com/BobTheDragQueen and youtube.com/MonetExchangeOfficial.
Can I pitch a segment for y'all? I have a great idea for a segment. So it's like, it's called, I have an idea for a segment. It's not bonus. It's called Bone Us. What happens is one guy fucks both of you and then you just talk to him about it.
Bonus. Okay. All right. I'm not going to do that, but it's a great idea.
I mean, who's the guy? When are you available, Bob?
It's the guy from the email.
Oh, ooh. We're going to wrap this episode up.
Who's he fucking first? Can I go first so that, you know, the transmission level is a little less?
Transmission?
I don't want to catch them.
There's a little civic rivalry different. Up in the race chaser,
you
honey.
What you different. Need to catch is a brush for that wig, bitch.
What's brush a brush? Your hair, bitch.
I've never heard
brush
of that.
Brush your hair.
Go brush your hair.
Big Dipper is dying.
Big Dipper is feverishly signaling that we wrap this up. Thank you so much for being here. Our podcast account is at Race Chaser Pod. The link on Instagram at Race Chaser Pod also has lots of resources and places to donate money in support of the Black Lives Matter movement. Wear a mask, wash your hands, stay safe and healthy, and we'll be back next week with more piping, steaming, scalding, boiling.
That's hot goss.
Cue the porpoise.
Hot Goss is a Forever Dog podcast.
Produced by Big Dipper.
Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. Mixed and mastered by Will Pitts.
Our theme song is graciously provided by ATF Enterprises.
This goss is hot.
The new Starz series, Mary and George, starring Julianne Moore and Nicholas Galitzine, tells a story almost too outrageous to be true, but shockingly, it is. With next to nothing to her name and looking to elevate her social standing, Mary Villiers sets her handsome and charming son George on the path to seduce King James I and become his all-powerful lover. The show is full of wit, scandal, action. You won't be able to look away. Watch the season premiere of Mary and George now, only on Starz and the Starz app.